Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode number 16. This is an episode all about brewing beer. We ask that you respect the laws, drink responsibly, and all that. I'm your host, Derek Zomer, and I have with me today Doug from North Carolina, Dave from Massachusetts, and our guest of honor, well, she's always on the show now, Kate from Massachusetts. For this episode, we've kind of chosen to do a potluck assortment of drinks. I don't even know what anybody has right now. The theme is all over the place. This is what I told everybody to do. Choose a liquid beverage that they have in their fridge, wine closet, or wherever they have hanging around. It may be something that's your favorite. It might be leftovers from a party you recently have, or whatever you think would fit your mood. What I made
mine in prison.
There's always that. It could be the best prison drink because it gets rid of the diseases and herpes. So what I did is I really was going to go with wine, but my wife doesn't drink red wine. So when I open a bottle, I'm Kate can understand. You have to finish it. And I'm a pussy sometimes about wine. So it'll get flat, if you will, or tannins just disappear after a while. So I decided I'm going to try and clean out the beer fridge. So I pulled out a Stone Mill Pale Ale, a Harpoon IPA, which I know everybody's talked about, but no one's ever really, I don't think, had on the show. Have we done an IPA episode?
I don't think so.
No.
Nope.
No. We'll have to do one of those. And the Spaten Optimator. I don't know if I'll get through all three, but it's worth a shot. Doug, what did you decide to bring to the table?
I have the Carolina IPA made by local brewery Carolina Brewing Company.
Dude, both have IPAs. Cheers.
I know.
Ching.
That was nice. Weak.
That was pretty weak, but you know, well, the night's it's early. There you go.
There you go.
Sling.
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 That's never gonna let me down.
Nope.
Kate, you got any drinks over there?
I do. I thought since this was potluck and like whatever is in your house, I figured it was probably like what you drink the most usually.
Yep.
And for me, it's either Pinot Noir or a vodka tonic, tequila, or Wild Turkey. So I decided to go with Wild Turkey.
Holy crap! We got Wild Turkey representing.
Yeah, because you guys are doing beer, whatever, and I may as well like take it a little more hardcore. But so I'm drinking Wild Turkey, only 80 proof, straight up on the rocks.
Yeah, get wild.
Really, Wild Turkey's only 80 proof. I don't know. Just the name gives it this connotation.
It comes in several different varieties. I have bought the 101 proof in the past, but right now I have the 80 proof. I don't know why that's lurking in my cabinet, but so there's the 80 proof, there's the 101, and then there's also an 8-year and a 12-year, and I think there's a 15-year as well for Wild Turkey, but I'm not 100% sure about that. But
you know, 15 years is a great age to be getting down with some of that.
The 101 proof is actually nicknamed the Kickin' Chicken, whereas the others are like the Dirty Bird, the Thunder Chicken, that sort of thing, but the 101 is the Kickin' Chicken.
So do you have the Dirty Bird?
I have the Dirty Bird.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Gotta like it dirty.
I'm gonna learn things out of this episode.
I know.
And they also call it gobble gobble. Swear to God.
Well, that's what happens if you drink too much 80 proof.
You do know that from this point forward, you have to refer to it as gobble gobble.
But no, 80 proof is really standard, Derek. It's
no, it depends. Like for me, I'm drinking 5% alcohol, right? So 80 proof.
Oh, well, you're drinking a beer though, yeah.
A couple of them, but still, if I drink all of these, it's not even coming close. 80 proof whiskey or anything of the whiskey variety, whiskey, bourbon, Southern Comfort, I don't even know what that is. Is that whiskey? Or is that cognac?
That's a liqueur.
Yeah, whatever those are, they all taste to me the same. They all taste like Jack Daniels after a bad night. And maybe. I had a bad night once with Seagram 7, and I've never been able to touch anything of the variety ever.
I think people that don't like bourbon think that they all taste the same, but maybe because I like bourbon so much, I can definitely taste a really distinct difference between all those alcohols.
I never got that far.
Yeah, you should try though, because bourbon, the great thing about bourbon is you can mix it with pretty much anything except don't do Mountain Dew. That's really gross.
Well, that would, yeah.
But like, you can mix it with Coke, you can mix it with Sprite, you can mix it with, I've mixed it with just a little bit of seltzer water.
You can drink roofies.
You can drink it straight up. I mean, it's one of those alcohols that
the problem with me is it's not about, okay, this one doesn't taste like the other one. When I start to raise a glass diluted in any type of liquid, the smell makes me want to just gag and throw up in my own mouth.
I totally understand. So that was vodka for me for a while.
So even though it doesn't, you can overcome.
Even though vodka doesn't have a smell, if I would get that glass up to my mouth, I couldn't do it because I had gotten so sick on it once.
So how did you get over the sickness?
I totally understand. I don't know. Just a lot of years of not drinking it. Probably like 5 or 6 years where I didn't even go near it. And then I don't know.
Maybe I just started drinking it again.
It's amazing the power that getting sick on something has over your body. I mean, I know a lot of people that have turned vegetarian because of food poisoning or something like that nature, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mother, I think it was my wife who did that. She had a hamburger once and she just had a stomach illness. It wasn't the hamburger at all. It wasn't even food poisoning, but some illness that came after. She wouldn't she wouldn't have any type of hamburger again for months and months.
Weird associate. Yeah.
And maybe I'm going to have to go. I have some Crown Royal. Maybe I'll just smell it and see if it makes me gag still.
Yeah, definitely go for the Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey is much better than Crown Royal.
What?
That's my opinion. But just pick up a bottle of, you know, 80 proof. I'm sure you have enough parties.
Wild Turkey come in a velvet bag? I mean, how good is that?
No,
I buy shit that comes
pimp.
In. Yeah, there's only two things that if it comes in a velvet bag or some sort of cool dressed up condom, I'm in. But if it's just a glass.
You like the 3D bottles too.
Oh, dude, I am totally for marketing.
I know.
So my problem is growing up like kind of white trash and not really understanding the connotations behind it. I remember going to school one day and I had a jacket that had like a Marlboro logo on it. And I had like a bag that was probably a Crown Royal bag or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
The shit.
Oh, dude, totally. It's like, oh, where'd you get that? My mom had enough Marlboro points.
Exactly.
Oh. Yeah, I don't worry. I probably grew up in the same neighborhood as you then.
Oh, you mean you couldn't afford clothes, so you got something for free with a little... Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and you're marketing them and because you spent so much money with them. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fucking Kid Rock, baby. So what do you got there, Dave?
Well, I put a lot of thought and consideration into this, and what I decided to do was go for some Zinfandel fine-ass wine.
Oh. Nice.
No.
Oh my god.
Oh, I was so looking forward to you drinking a 40.
I was poking around the basement where all things vile go sooner or later. And I looked around and I still have 5 Miller Chills left.
Uh-huh.
Thought about doing that. Knew it was going to be terrible. Couldn't
don't
bring myself to it. I have lots and lots of wine, but I know I don't like wine. Everybody knows I don't like wine, so I figured that'd be kind of pointless too. So I'm doing something called Twaca, which is fun to say.
It sounds like one of those Japanese erotica films.
Yeah.
Give it to me in the Twaca.
Speaking of tentacle porn.
Twaca is
Oh, really? I thought that was like ping pong paddle porn.
All right, got his left. He's got to Google.
All right, so Twaca is an Italian liqueur. It tastes like vanilla and citrus, but it's more brandy-ish.
Cognac. Mm.
And I tend to use it in margaritas, and it becomes a Twacarita.
Twacarita. So you use that instead of like a Grand Marnier or...
I use like a half amount of Grand Marnier, and then I do an ounce and a half of this stuff.
Holy shit, so you push it in there.
Yeah, and what's cool about it is it turns into like... a lime creamsicle, if that makes sense. Like it adds a creamy kind of flavor to it. It really mellows it out. It's quite nice.
A creamy Twaca.
And Twaca is 70 proof.
Holy crap.
Sorry, it's... Yeah, 70 proof, yeah.
That's awesome. I don't have any... I got some Don Julio Blanco here I can just suck down. Oh, wait, I got a Reposado right behind it. Oh, dude, I could get wrecked.
So it's nice in that it really takes any of the like acidity away from the drink, kind of. It just mellows it all out.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So, good stuff.
So, my idea here, I wanted to kind of tap into a little of Doug's knowledge, because when he was here a couple weeks ago, or a month ago, I don't even remember how long it was, we kind of talked about brewing beer, and I thought it would be cool to kind of get some of his experience, because some people who probably listen to the podcast, if they're not beer brewers, are probably considering beer brewery. Or you know what? The other thing I want to know, and I know a little about this, but I think it would be neat to know more, is, you know, what makes top fermented compared to bottom fermented? What makes the color in a specific type of, you know, an IPA, an ale, a lager, a porter? What makes the taste? What, you know, what is balance? What, how much alcohol? And then the whole process that goes into making beer. Even though we don't all have beer here, this, I considered it more of like, this is what we're drinking to socialize, to talk about the art of brewing beer. It's kind of a hobby, you know. It's one that my father used to do, so I have a little background in it. I did a lot of bottling for my father, and we've had a couple explosions or whatnot when we first started, but I never really sat down and cooked it through the recipes with them. I usually ended up doing just the bottling, the cleaning, unfortunately, because, you know, being the son, you get to clean the bottles. And so we did all that. And, you know, there is some stuff to know about cleaning bottles, so that's kind of cool, too. So I kind of wanted to just kind of focus on not really the history of any specific thing we're drinking, but what are the styles? What do we know about beer brewing, and or what does Doug know? And this is sort of his specialty. When we brought Dave in for margaritas and tequila, I don't think me or Kate have any specialties. No. We just drink. I guess that's a specialty. We drink more than some people do.
Discriminately.
Yeah. That's correct. If somebody throws some sort of alcohol in front of me and I go, wow, it's blue. What is it? Just drink it. I'll drink it.
Yeah, I'll drink it.
I've seen Doug drink it, and I think everybody kind of follows that. You guys just have a little
really
more
your
talent.
Specialty is poor impulse control.
Lack of discretion.
Yeah. I've always had that problem, lack of discretion. So, Doug, what do we need to know about beer there, buddy? My friend Doug here.
Okay. The first thing about beer is it's not as daunting as a task as you would initially think brewing beer is. Totally remember the first time that I brewed. Nervous as hell. I was like, totally going to screw this up. It was fine. It's like to the point now where I could literally wake up any day of the week and be like, maybe I'll just brew beer today. It's as easy as that.
So it doesn't make a, like, I remember it used to make, it was a big project at my house because there's a conflict for the kitchen, really, I think what it comes down to, and the amount of time it might take. You can't do that on the weeknight, yeah. Right? You just do it on a weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you could do it on the weeknight if you want. I mean, it takes a few hours, so, I mean, you would just assume that you'd be getting home from work, and that's what you'd be doing for the rest of the night.
So if you're a bachelor, that's probably no problem.
Oh, yeah,
If you're married, I guess it depends on who you're married to and their tolerance to you owning the kitchen for a while.
Yeah, it's that, and if you can tolerate the smell of beer brewing, which is not, I'm not going to say it's not pleasant, but it could be more pleasant. Like if you're, let's say, boiling potpourri, that would be nice.
Oh, you mean Harpoon Winter Warmer?
yeah, exactly.
Well,
but the smell of boiling malt and hops is not it's really the hops that starts to get stuff stinky.
Yeah, and I mean I've been to the Tabasco plant and I can't say that smells any better when they're making that. You go to Avery Island and it smells like a I don't know what it's like a vinegar plant, really. It's just horrid.
Yeah.
So basically you're drawing out that the flavor that's subtle in a beer just condensed in your kitchen.
That's what it is.
So what do you
and it's really hot.
Do you? That's true. Do you find? Have you found that it's? Is it like a hard to start up? Because I know you're going to need glasses and you're going to need stuff. Like, what is the investment up front?
Up front, you could probably get yourself started for as little as $50. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's with a beginning kit and your first batch. But that would not include like bottles.
It's cheaper. Than
actually, now
audio.
That we're talking about it, I can probably look up. A starter kit.
It's cheaper than streaming audio or video. Camera is like 7,000 pounds of beer for the price.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely more expensive hobbies that you can get into. And you know, other hobbies are not... Well, I mean, it depends on what your hobby is. Of course, there is a satisfaction that's going to be derived from any hobby that you decide to get yourself into. But with brewing beer... You get beer at the end of it.
So you have fun doing it, and at the end you have beer? Holy crap.
Yeah. I know. It's like the best thing ever.
Have you ever figured out what the economics of it are versus just going out and buying something? Is
that's
it
true,
far yeah. cheaper? Is it the same? Is it more expensive?
It depends on what you want to do, but yes. In every aspect of every batch that I've made, it is... by far cheaper to brew your own beer than to go out and buy it.
Okay.
Personally, I'm one of my goals is an over 6% alcohol by volume ale for 50 cents or less per bottle after all the ingredients going into the brew. Like initially, okay, I just looked up a kit, it's $60. So $60 for all the equipment And then from there, you'd probably spend another $30 to $40 on the ingredients to brew it. So your first batch is 100, and then every batch after that is $30.
Okay, so you get the initial physical hardware.
How many bottles do you get for $30?
2 cases, 5 gallons.
Okay,
that's not too bad. Do you give a lot of it away? Because I can't drink that much. I guess maybe you do. I can't. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I kind of ration it out to friends.
And how long does it last?
I keep the vast majority. What do you mean?
Like, say you make a beer from start to finish, at the very last stage where the beer is done and you could hand it out, if you just leave it in your basement or whatnot, how long will it last before it starts getting funky?
That's a good question. I honestly do not know how long it would stay fresh.
But how long have you tested it? A week?
I wasn't really going to go there, but yeah.
Hanging your head under the spigot, is that a problem? Or?
I will say that I've done that too. I was like, wow, I wonder what this tastes like if I just have it out the spigot before I actually put it in the bottles. And it just tastes like really, really, really flat beer.
Oh, yeah, because you don't have all the sugars in there and stuff?
No carbonation.
Yep. So it would be flat, literally. No carbonation?
Literally flat. No carbonation.
Yeah, that would be like drinking a soda out of with just syrup, which I've done, which is still sweet, though.
So, you know, I wrote up the big thing in the show notes. I don't know if you want me to read through this or if you guys just want to talk about brewing in general.
I guess for the beginning, you could probably read through it and we can just pop in questions when we have it. Like, because I mean, you don't have to read it all word for word if we hit all the topics, I guess. But I don't know where you want to start. Like, what?
Plus, you don't want to show up to Eric, right?
Right. How do you show up?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to inadvertently talk more than you.
Yeah.
What I mean is that you can actually read aloud.
I can read aloud. Just not this shit.
Yeah.
Give me gaming news. I'll read that aloud.
Fine.
I'm just twitching that nerve a little bit on you, Derek. That's all.
That was a nerve.
Sling. Nice.
Sling.
You know what? I'll just start reading through this stuff. Right. I can probably read this fairly fast enough. Okay, intro. Why in the world would you want to brew your own beer? Besides the obvious answer to this question, that it's freaking beer, there are a few other reasons that you may want to explore the wonderful world of homebrewing. First, if you love cooking and you love drinking beer, which I personally love cooking and I love drinking beer, perfect hobby. Second, you can make beer just as good and sometimes much better for a fraction of the cost, and you can actually go out and buy it. Personally, I'm on the, as I just mentioned, I'm on the quest, and I'm damn close to the 50-cent, 6% alcohol by volume or more ale. The last reason that you might want to brew your own beer is something that ties into the first point, which is it's a craft. So beer making can be as complex or as simple as you want to make it. Any which way you go, when you are brewing your own beer, you're crafting simple ingredients, which they really are, into something that should be, hopefully, something that you'll be able to enjoy with friends and family. So let
me ask you this quick. How many batches do you need to make before you feel like you can make something decent?
I have not made anything that was bad.
Really? Okay.
Well,
I had a friend who was brewing his own, and the first couple batches he made, the first one was, it wasn't good. I don't know how to explain it beyond that. And the second one I wasn't able to taste because the bottle that was sitting on top of my fridge exploded, leaving glass shards in the wall. So,
that actually brings up a point. Because even when my father started, everybody's like, the first batch is going to be bad. Now, my father I don't think, had any bad beer either. What is it that makes them do it wrong? Is it that they're not closely paying attention? Are they not good cooks? Or is it, I mean, you're saying it's not hard. Why do so many people screw up the first batch? Is it they just don't know all the processes?
Potentially. There's so much information online on beer brewing. As long as you can follow instructions, there's no reason that you should produce a bad batch of beer or have beer that explodes. Because if you have beer that explodes, it means that whomever made the beer didn't let it sit and rest long enough in the fermenter before racking it and putting it in the bottle. Or they put too much sugar in with their beer when they when they bottled it, which means that there was a lot of sugar for the yeast that's left over in the beer to eat, and they made so much carbon dioxide that it made the bottle explode.
Or what about if they didn't clean the bottles correctly or cleanly enough? Because then you're going to have bacteria. Will that make it explode, or will that just make it taste bad?
That'll make it taste like ass.
Oh, okay. So that's a different problem.
Ass.
But I mean, yeah. That's another one. Like, some people might be like, oh, well, I'll just clean it a little. You know, what's the big deal? Well, it's chemistry, folks. It makes a difference.
And another thing is, you want to be patient with your beer, and you don't want to move it around at all, or as little as possible after it's in the fermentators.
Just let it hang out.
Because if you bang it around too much, it starts moving stuff around, and then all the bad shit that settles down at the bottom kind of gets stirred back up into it, and it just, you know, you end up having crap that tastes like cardboard.
But now, okay,
or so I've read.
So to Dave's point, though, where he said to make a good beer, now I would consider, say, your first batch of beer is good, like qualification wise, it's a beer, it tastes like beer, but when you get to the point where you can start experimenting and say, I want this to have a specific type of flavor, or this to be more hoppy, like, does it take a while to get familiar with the ingredients to where you can start balancing them different? Besides, obviously, you get through all that, nothing explodes, but you just want to make a certain hint that makes it your own.
If you're going for that, then yeah, it's going to be a batch after batch, and you're going to have to make a batch of it, taste it, make notes, tweak your recipe however you think you need to tweak it, make that batch, take the notes, see if it lined up with what your expectations were for that batch and where it was off. You know, go back through your changes in the recipe and readjust. It's really just like any other type of recipe in the world, that if you're looking for a specific taste, and you need to make it over and over and over until you get exactly what you're looking for.
Sounds more like baking than cooking, though, in the sense that it's more of a formula. You know what I mean? Like cooking, always tweak what you're working with, but with this, you're pretty much putting it all together and letting it sit.
Right.
Yeah. So you can't change it after that point, right?
This is true.
And your trial and error is pretty much after each batch is done and you can taste it. So it's not like putting it in the oven for 3 hours and then trying again in a couple of days. It's like a longer process.
Yeah, depending on what you're making, it could be as soon as 4 to 6 weeks, or, you know, a few months out.
But I'm thirsty now, you see?
Well, yeah, but think about it. Once you start going, you always have one on in the back. Then you're always got one going. You know, it's like wine. If your wine takes 4 years to age, you don't got anything for 4 years. But after that, if you keep doing it every week for 4 years, you'll always have new wines. It's the same thing. It's just a shorter time period. You just have to buy other people's beer until yours is ready.
That's correct. That's why large breweries will never go out of business, because people are making their own beer at home.
Yeah. But the people who make their beer at home.
Well, yeah, there'll never be enough people making it at home to put anyone out of business. I mean,
well, that's true too.
It's a lot of effort, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of really lazy bastards out there, like me.
Like me too.
Right. I don't
and
think.
While
I'd
I appreciate the art of it, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's kind of a cool idea. I think I would probably be about 10 minutes into it and be like, thirsty now.
Yeah, it's like saying restaurants would go out of business because people like to cook. I mean, you're always going to want to go out. You know, and get some.
Well, you always want to taste other people's beer anyway, right? I mean, you're always going to want to explore everything out there. If you think your beer is the best right away, then you're doing something wrong. You're not experimenting with what's out there to see what other variants and other people have. Not everybody's the same. Everybody's got their own creative talent. So you could say, I like how they did that.
If I were to brew my own beer, it would be the greatest beer that mankind has ever known. So therefore, I can't do that.
Don't even.
That's the best. That's awesome. That's the best example ever. Like, I don't need to actually do anything, because I do things that are so awesome and magnificent that it pales in comparison. The world would explode under my awesome talents.
I could devastate entire economies simply by trying things.
Brewing beer.
He would be the next Budweiser.
Yeah, Budweiser just sold to InBev for what, 50-something billion?
54 billion, I believe, or 57 billion near the end.
All right, maybe I should brew something.
Yeah, you got to work. And Budweiser, like Doug said, even with Bud, it didn't take a year. It was like 20 or 30 years before they got the recipe perfect, or to what they wanted it to be. And it's probably right. changed since then. So Doug, still got time. Your 50 cent
I still
beer.
Think I can one shot it.
So Doug, tell me, what goes into
what
beer?
What do you guys think of me? Let's talk about Humble for a while.
Yeah. Come on, Doug. Tell us the four main ingredients for beer.
Four main ingredients of beer: grain, hops, water, and yeast.
That's
no
it.
Barley?
I'm
or
sorry.
Is that grain? What's where does barley fall under?
Barley would be grain.
Grain, okay.
And that's the stuff that costs a lot of money
barley.
Right now?
Ah, okay.
I think. Actually, hops cost a lot of money, too. Well, not for home
yeah,
products.
Actually.
Hops are expensive.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right now, they are.
Oh. There's been a shortage, worldwide shortage in hops.
So does that raise the price for you? Or is it not really noticeable because you're only making such a small number compared to the overall market?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's, you know, it might be a few, you know, maybe a quarter more a package or something like that.
No, that's not bad.
It actually might be more than that. I haven't really tracked my hop cost.
What
but
it is there's a large
your hop budget
actually rules the world, and they're holding some aside just in case I decide I'm going to start some brewing.
Oh, my God.
Well done. Beer is grain, hops, water, and yeast, and it's how you put those together that at the end you have the broth of the gods.
And I believe that's what the German there's a German government or body that regulates what can be put in a beer, and those are your four ingredients. That I mean, if you put anything else, and they will basically say it's not beer.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like a legal thing.
Huh.
Anyway, go on. I'll see if I could find that.
Germans and their purity.
Yeah.
They have the same thing for bourbon. It has to be a certain content of, it has to be at least 51% corn and stuff like that. I don't
right.
know what else is in there, but.
the Germans.
They regulate everything. I mean, it's the way it is.
It's the Reinheitsgebot is the German body that says that everything has to be grain, hops, and water. That's they only have three. They don't specify yeast.
Yeah, I taught those dudes everything they know.
At its core, Dave is Uber.
He defines Uber.
Dave, the Uber brewer.
I'm going to put that on Wikipedia. Hang on.
Yeah.
Citation, Everyday Drinkers Podcast, episode 16.
I said it, so it is so.
So what goes into making fermentation and all that good stuff?
Okay, so I'll start us up for grains. So basically, beer is fermented grain. So to get the alcohol in the beer, which is the reason that we drink the beer, because if it didn't have alcohol in it, it wouldn't be good.
No.
You have to have sugar. So grain happens to provide the sugar or the gluten when it's harvested and cracked. So for beer, that grain is then steeped in water and cooked down until it turns into a thick syrup, commonly referred to as malt. So for beer making, you have a couple options of how you get your malt. You can make it yourself, which requires a lot of grain, specialized equipment, and a lot of space and a good amount of time. Or you can buy it from your local brew store, or you can order it online, or you could order it in a pre-made beer kit.
So you get your malts like
pre-made.
The pre-made malts, is it all the same? Or is there different types of malts that you'd buy? Or is it just
there
malt?
Are.
Okay. So you actually have to think
there
about
are,
it.
There's, huh?
So you actually could think about or pick up different ones for different styles of recipes and
different
such.
Flavors? Is that where the flavor comes in? Like if you were to do something that, you know, is, I know you guys hate me and my pumpkin beer, but if you were to do something that had some sort of a flavor to it, where would that come in?
That would be considered an adjunct, which would be like a fifth ingredient.
Oh,
so like
okay.
when you get into spices and and those kinds of things, then it's an adjunct, and it's something else that you put in the beer.
I predicted pumpkin beer is going to become the most popular type.
Do you know? I was at.
Dave has
I was,
said it is true.
it is
Thank
true.
You,
really?
I love pumpkin beer. I know you guys hate me and my pumpkin beer, but I just love it. I can't wait until it starts coming back into the stores again.
I was just at the brew store this weekend, and it was freaking everywhere. It was
Shut
like
up.
Every other freaking beer that I saw was a pumpkin beer. I was like, what the fuck is up with all this pumpkin beer?
I am
it's
so happy.
Not even, It's still August.
It's almost September, mister.
Yeah, but it's you have to brew it. It takes a while.
Say, look, I wrote to all these different leaders from the different countries.
Free world.
Look, Kate says pumpkin beer is the shit, so make it happen, all right?
He sent that email like 10 minutes ago, but they all have him right on speed dial.
This afternoon.
Right.
Dude, it's like video conference in here. It's like Justice League, but in my office. And I just call that shit up and say, hey, yo.
He calls up Chinese, like, make it so, and they get like 1,000 people on it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I call up China and say, hey, we need more underage gymnasts.
You're only sentence two.
Okay. So, yeah, grains, malt, sugar. Okay, so alcohol, fermenting sugar. Great. So now that you have your sugar for your beer, you're going to need to balance it with the bitter, which is the hops, and the hops are great. So back, and I looked this up, back in the 11th century, some German guy figured out that if you put hops in beer, it helps preserve the beer so that it doesn't go bad, and it helps it not taste like a loaf of liquid sweet beer.
That's
which
true.
Which I'm sure is exactly what it would taste.
It would taste like alcoholic sugar. Which does sounds pretty good.
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's alcohol, so yeah. Okay.
Alcoholic sugar. Oh, schnapps.
Exactly.
Already exists.
Okay, so hops come in a few different varieties. You have your noble hops, like the Hersbrucker, the Lublin, the Saaz. Then you have modern hops, like the Challenger, Crystal, and Northern Brewer. Hops are generally distinguished by how floral their smell is and their acidity. It's actually mostly on their acidity. The more acidic, the more bitter the hop is. So if you're going to go for a lager, you'd use very little low acid hops, so you wouldn't use a lot of it. Whereas if you're going for an IPA, you'd use a shitload of high acid hops.
What if we were trying to create the most badass malt liquor ever?
Yeah. Like, what if you don't want to, like, say you want to go against the mold and you want to use a lot of bitter hops in a lager? Can you do that?
Yeah.
You just wouldn't
I have no
like.
Idea what that would taste like.
Yeah, well, it would be Dave's ultimate beer.
I want to have something in the hands of every pimp in the world.
Right.
If you're going
fried to this country
for a badass malt beverage, I would suggest using a very little noble hop.
So like so what does the noble make it? Is the noble more bitter?
Yeah. What's
I'm sorry.
Is the noble make it a noble hop? Is it what would you describe the noble hop as? Like a bitter hop or a more of a floral?
Not so bitter and floral.
Oh, so you'd get more. You get basically the
Do you
goal
know where
would
the
be
term noble comes from though.
Well,
not
yeah,
a freaking clue.
Okay, because all I think of is like noble gases. You know what I mean?
I was thinking of noble people.
Mind with anything.
It might just because they all come. I think they're all German. That might be the case. I don't know. I honestly don't know. And I tried to look it up real quick because I knew that question was coming out. So anybody listening
Wikipedia
to the podcast
just failed us.
Stupid Wikipedia.
Okay, I you want to know the answer?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you said it's German, then it probably stands for fancy or classy hop, because that's what German is. It's sublime, posh, noble, fancy, classy, high end. You know, it's the same thing that we would call it, I guess. We pretty much probably took their definition.
Pimpin'.
Yeah. Well, no, if you wanted something that was high class, I don't think bitter, right? I think smooth, easy to put down, which would be, you know, if you're making a 40, you don't want something that's gonna turn people off. You want something to go down real easy because you want to get all the alcohol you can without, you don't really need to balance it. You want to balance closer to the sweet, like you were saying before the 11th century, but not maybe that far. Something balanced more towards sweetie. This can go down real fast, drop it in a 40. You can go pimp your ride and, you know, whatever else, shoot some 40s. Everybody, no, shoot cap some people, you know, whatever you do when you're riding high in your 40s and you're
you're
in the
mixing
hood.
Your pimp cliches, Derek.
Disclaimer, Derek lives in New Hampshire.
We actually have 0.1%. African American here, so I don't know how we have that. I don't know if that's like half a person or somebody who's, I don't know, has a white mother, black father. I don't know how that works.
Or you have an ancestor that's lying.
No, can get good at that. So you know how statistics work. We don't have a lot of people like that. So, you know, for us, we don't have a lot of pimping rides. For us, it's usually this people trying to be cool and taking off the emblems on their cars and driving down the road with big mufflers. That's the best we do up here.
We do have ricers, yes.
Yes, yeah. I try to avoid the word ricer because I figure it's got to be a negative connotation somehow.
I'm in the shit already on this one. So
I try to dig myself out before I went that far. But that is neither here nor there. Noble hops, let's call it fancy. If it's a real German word, I'm going to say that is probably why they kind of... I personally would think bitter would be more... I don't want to say low class, but you know, like if somebody's trying to make something real smooth, it's probably not going to be rough on the palate. That's why I was thinking noble that way.
We have fancy beer.
Fancy beer here.
It doesn't get rough on my palate.
Oh nein, sehr gut, sehr gut. Ich liebe mein Bier. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Third ingredient, water. It's water.
You know, you always need water. It's what we use to survive.
That's why beer is so refreshing and hydrating.
It's like coffee.
Because it has water in it.
Right. I mean, like coffee. Coffee's got water in it.
Coffee does have water in it.
I know. I don't really call it a hydrating.
I'm glad you pointed that out.
I don't call it hydrating, but it's probably got the same parts compared to this. Basically, hey, you need water. What's up, dude?
Hey, Derek.
Hey, Doug.
Coffee has water in it.
Sling. Sling. Yeah.
So do you just use like tap water or
Ooh.
Do you have something where you have to climb a Norwegian mountain? And
Good question.
Scrape off?
Yes. Tap water is generally fine as long as the tap water in your local municipal system is not overly chlorinated or hard. As you know,
so not New York.
Really, you can get really technical about it, and you know, pH test and do all the tests for your water to figure out what the composition is to make sure that it is, you know, the best water that you can use for your beer. Actually, when I first started brewing, I was in an apartment building that was built like in the 20s or something, and I didn't really trust the pipes and the like in it, so I ended up using bottled water,
which is
like, you know how you can get gallon jugs at the grocery store.
Oh yeah, I do that. Yeah, my wife only drinks bottled water. I don't know why, because our water isn't that bad, but you can tell taste a difference. It's more chlorinated, more tastes like artificial cleaner in our water, which is probably good if you don't want water that's going to kill you. But yep. I bet you spring water, like if you had a well, would probably be really good.
Have you guys ever seen a show on Showtime called Bullshit? It's by Penn & Teller.
Oh, I love that show.
There was a fantastic episode about bottled water, and they had this actor posing as a waiter at a high-end restaurant. And basically, he took a bunch of bottles and they made fake labels for, and he's out back with the garden hose filling the bottles up. And he's telling people about all these different characteristics, like, you know, oh, this one comes from this fjord in Norway where only three people have ever been, blah, blah, blah. And it's all the same shitty garden hose water, but people are like, oh, yeah, I can taste that, but, you know.
That's mean. I think this
bullshit.
Thing, yeah, I have no problem with any types of water. And from what I understand, New York water, which probably would be bad for this, is very clean. Like, people always kind of trash on different city water because, well, city water doesn't sound very good, but apparently New York puts a lot of money into their water system.
Yep.
Which I guess what it comes down to is that most tap water goes through more stringent requirements than bottled water does.
Right, because bottled water, you can have fish poop in there.
And in fact, a lot of bottled waters are just filtered tap water anyways. Like, you know, some of the big ones by Coke and Pepsi, like Aquafina, are basically just tap water that they run through filters.
Yep. Well, which is all you need, right? Filtered water. The regular stuff just runs natural filters, they call it, like from the mountains. Well, whatever. It's all stones.
I guess I'm the only jerk that can taste a difference, but like my gym went from going from Poland Spring to they have this new filtering system, and it definitely tastes worse.
Oh, there is. I think
it's like rusty tasting to me.
Especially like some towns put a lot of
fluorine.
There we go. Or chlorine in their water, and I mean that's something you can definitely taste and smell,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you can smell it even before you taste it.
I definitely taste a difference in this particular instance, but
yeah. Well, it depends on how much filtering.
Boss, have you ever had that?
No.
It's a Norwegian water, and it's really good, but, you know, if I did a blind taste test, I'd probably look like an idiot.
Fiji FTW. Fiji water wins every time, hands down.
But that's not very green.
So why not? Fiji's
well,
green.
Shipping water from Fiji.
So? Conserve. Get freaking battery-powered boats. Not my problem.
Look, since the last beer that I drank, I've gotten very environmentally conscious.
Oh, yeah. I can understand that, because you would
what
make
was the name of that beer?
Hippie. He doesn't even remember.
I knew you didn't know. No. When you refer to it as the last beer I drank.
Yeah, it was that memorable. No, it was okay. It's super sweet, but I don't know. I did finish it off, so.
That's good.
Hey, Doug.
Cool. Yo.
So I remember Anderson Valley Brewing Company, Crema Cerveza or something?
No, it was way longer than
there.
That.
Cerveza Crema.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
Head cream.
All right, last ingredient.
To take your ass out now.
What's the last ingredient?
Yeast.
Yeast, like yeast infection?
No, like beer yeast.
Like bread?
Like, you know how you, yeah, like bread yeast. But
same thing.
They actually make specific yeast for beer.
So that what does that do? Eat the alcohol better?
No, it's less prone to have
herpes?
Foreign objects in it, which could potentially contaminate your beer.
Foreign objects? Apparently, I'm thinking knives. What the fuck?
No, like rat poo.
Oh, good. Good. Good on the beer yeast.
Yeah. So apparently, bread is more forgiving with what can actually inadvertently get in it. Versus beer.
Okay.
So,
and of course,
I have,
yeast is alive, right?
Yeast is alive.
So, does it take extra money to ship it?
I'm sorry?
If you buy live starfish, it costs more money. If you buy yeast, does it cost more money, or does it just live by itself?
If you get dry yeast, it's inexpensive. If you get activator yeast, which is a live culture in liquid form, it's much more expensive.
Oh, what do you need?
I personally use, it depends on what I'm making.
Really?
I kind of like using the dry yeast because it's cheaper and you have to have a really, 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 really sensitive palate to know the difference between whether or not somebody used dry yeast or not.
Really? What is the difference in a yeast, in the dry yeast and in a active yeast? Is it just how fast it lives and digests other things? How do you know
that? There are some, beats me, man, but I mean, there are specific yeast for specific types of beers, especially when you're getting the liquid activator yeast. You know, Belgian beers, you know how Belgian beers all have that sour thing going on?
Yep.
It's because of the yeast that they use.
Yeah, but could you use the different type of yeast and get that same sour thing, or do you actually have to do it their way?
You actually have to use that kind of yeast.
Oh.
There's a specific yeast that you have to use.
And I guess if you're in competitions to like get the best beer, you'd probably want to do it, you know, more by the book. Because might be people there that actually have that palate that can test and taste the difference and be like, hey, you fucked up over here. This is dry yeast, bitch. And you don't want to be that guy.
It affects the type of beer, doesn't it? Like an ale versus a lager?
Yes. There are yeasts that are specific to ales and yeasts that are specific to lagers. As a matter of fact, one of the batches that I made that I enjoyed the most was a steam beer, which is an ale made with lager yeast. Like, you know Anchor Steam?
No.
Anchor
Steam.
The beer?
No.
That was just out in California, so yeah.
Oh, you bitch.
So Anchor Steam actually trademarked the steam, and prior to them doing that, anybody that made a beer using lager yeast for an ale, it was considered steam beer. But then they trademarked it, so now if anybody actually produces one other than Anchor Steam, which I don't know, I've never seen a steam beer other than that, it's called a California Common Ale.
What? Wait a minute. Isn't there prior art? I mean, how the hell do you get away with that?
I don't know, but they did.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Look, software patents, that's all I have to say.
Different world, though.
Yeah. So what's the difference between, I've heard, top fermenting and bottom fermenting yeast?
Okay, top fermenting is for
ales.
Room temperature brews, like ales. Or anything that's going to be relatively dark and
like a porter, stout.
Yeah, yeah. Like it, any type of dark beer is going to be top fermented. When you get into your pilsners and your lagers, those are bottom fermented. The real difference between top fermented and bottom fermented is brewing temperature.
So when lagers, you're making the brew itself, you brew it at a higher temperature?
Room temperature.
Room temperature is pretty warm. Cool. I don't know. It's warm, I think, right? Compared to a lager.
Yeah. So room temperature, I mean, you're looking at any given time of the year, like let's say mid-70s inside, whereas the lagers are brewed at like 40 degrees.
Cave.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're in the cave.
I didn't know that. It was such a big difference.
Lagers, pilsners would be your cave beers.
And it takes a lot longer to produce a lager than it does an ale.
So have you done both? I mean, you've done ale, definitely, but have you done lagers? Or?
Hell no. Yeah, and honestly, I just don't have the extra fridge equipment that I would need to do it. Yeah.
You'd need a refrigerated room, maybe?
No,
or
you could probably do it up here, right?
Oh, okay.
I mean, it depends, because the history of brewing beers, people would literally they'd brew them in a cave, but now they'd brew them in refrigerated rooms that would be at a constant temperature just so that the brew always came out the same.
Right. Okay.
But you're going to have a better chance, I think, of making a lager in an area that's colder because where Doug is, I would guess you guys are fucking hot down there. I don't know.
Oh, that's true.
What is your basement temperature? Like, it also depends. Like, in my house, you couldn't do it either because my house is a half basement. Half of it's got a walkout. So you really need like, Doug, you remember your old house in Barnstead?
Yep.
You could probably do it down there where you're in an old farmhouse where when you go into the basement and it's dirt, it's not, you know, it's got stone, there's no foundation, it's just stone built up. Like, that's the perfect temperature.
I mean, theoretically, you had something beneath your house that was akin to what they had in War Games. Just saying.
What, you got
a missile silo?
Maybe, you know.
Well, if you had a missile silo, shit, yeah.
You could make a lot of beer in there.
That's what I'm thinking.
You need you can buy those. I'm not going to do one, but I mean, up here.
Oh, what, a missile silo?
Yeah, yeah.
You can?
Yes, you can. I saw it on the History Channel. They sell them. They're a lot of money, but people build houses on top of missile silos. It's really freaking cool, some of the houses they have. The old abandoned missile silos from the Cold War? Fucking awesome.
I did hear of a data storage company that is based out of a missile silo.
Iron Mountain. Perfect. Iron Mountain. No, that's right around here, isn't it? One of our guys was down there the other day.
I'm pretty sure they have vaults in a mountainside somewhere, but
Iron Mountain. It makes sense. I believe it. But yeah, but like,
so basically, for the home brewer, your ale is probably going to be a little bit more accessible. But if you do happen to have an area that's 40 degrees or lower, you could do a lager type beer.
Yeah.
You're going to just raise your price. Like, if you did an air-conditioned room to get it to 40 degrees, it just means price per bottle is going to be outrageous. But if you're into lagers.
For, like, Budweiser?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It you kind of wonder why. How is it you make such a clean, clear lager, which is the more difficult beer to make, and make it as cheap as you do? It's because they don't really use a lot of grain. They use rice.
Right.
Oh.
But that's
dum, dum, dum.
That's
I
part
did
of their
not know that.
That's part of their flavor though. Like that's
yes it is.
It's sort of like Harley has a loud noise and everything that's got a loud noise is a Harley. For Bud, that's I guess their secret recipe, but it's not that's another reason why their price never goes up with the shortage in hops where all the microbrews are now like $12 a six pack.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's going to give you a different flavor, but I mean, it works for them. But they still need they still need the refrigeration. It's just mass market.
It makes me think of I have a friend who has celiac disease, which
what is
it? Celiac disease. It's pretty common amongst people of like Irish and English ancestry, but basically your body can't process wheat gluten, and it causes a lot of you get like heartburn and other stuff, but it. Your body can't take in nutrients as well as long as you're eating wheat gluten, which is damn near everything, especially beer. I wonder if there's some gluten-free beers that have been coming out recently, and I wonder if those are pretty much based on rice.
No, they're based on sorghum.
Oh, okay.
And the mass market one that I've seen is called New Grist, G-R-I-S-T, New Grist beer. It's actually fairly interesting tasting. It's kind of it has a, kind of an apple cidery quality to it. Like if you can imagine like a cider mixed or crossed with a lager, that's kind of how it tastes. Really
sounds
interesting
good.
Tasting. It almost has a champagne quality to it too. It really was it really was interesting. I mean it wasn't really like beer, but I mean hell if you get that close. And at the brew store that I go to, you can actually purchase sorghum malt, and you can make it yourself if you want.
So you can make you can homebrew your own hypoallergenic beer, if you will.
Yep,
that's pretty cool. It's just kosher.
There's a Korean thing called makgeolli or something, and it's basically a rice beer. It's fermented rice. And it's kind of this white pasty stuff, but it doesn't look anything like beer. But when you take a taste of it, you go, oh, it's beer.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, they have a lot of rice.
Yeah.
When it comes down to like, I need to ferment some shit. Okay, you're in Russia? Fucking potatoes. You're here? Yeah, you don't ferment
right.
shit. Nah, yeah. Speaking of shit, Doug,
Yo.
Tell me a little more about yeast and what it is and like what happens when you combine all the ingredients together. What does it taste like? I'm leading
like
you into
before you carbonate it.
Yeah, you know,
or before you put in your yeast.
Before you put after you've put in the what's the point of the whole yeast to begin with in the beer? You said that it eats sugar,
it's
right?
The fermentation process.
Yes, yeast takes sugar and it turns it into alcohol and at the same time produces CO2. So it poops out alcohol and it burps carbon dioxide.
Bingo. It poops
out
alcohol.
That sounds like most football fans.
He's got a point there, Doug. Football fans could be beer.
Yes, they could. Or a little yeast.
I just like the fact that it poops out alcohol. That's the most technical. That's the easiest way. Layman's terms, yeast poops alcohol.
Shouldn't it pee alcohol?
It might.
No. Oh, yeast can't pee. It doesn't have a penis. Duh.
But it has an anus.
I believe it has vacuoles.
That's awesome. It has vacuoles. Happy days. I don't
because it's
never even heard of that.
It's a eukaryotic cell, right? So the vacuoles are the things inside the cell that allow for waste products to go out and for food to come in.
This is seventh grade chemistry for me. I'm biology, whatever.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Oh, and I think it was 11th grade or something, too. Totally left that behind.
Have I mentioned how clever I am?
What, are you looking shit up?
Yeah.
He's using Wiki to find this stuff before he says it.
I hate this fucking website.
Vacuoles?
Hold on.
Oh, how'd you come up with vacuoles?
I used to be a microbiology major. I know some of this shit.
Well, that's not fair. I was a CS major. We can't tap on any of my knowledge. Fucking A.
Except you drink beer. So you got that going.
I got that going for me. I was the first one to turn 21.
So
yeast can be simple or complex.
Yeah, I mean, really depending on what you're going for, you can go the route that I go with because I generally brew ales. I'll just get the dry yeast. It works. It's fine. And I don't do a lot of the steps that other people do to really make their beer nice and refined.
Why?
I put it in the dry yeast one time.
Yeah.
What makes you
decide?
I just
stick it in my primary ferment and I let it sit around for a couple weeks.
Well, oh, God. You guys are back to this voice thing.
Yeah, sorry.
So why don't you take these extra steps? Is it not cool? You don't care? It doesn't do anything for you?
It's cool, but I'm not, when I'm brewing my beer, I'm not really going for anything that, you know, I'm going to enter in a contest or anything like that. I just want to make something that I enjoy drinking, and I can get that product just by tweaking the recipes that I have in a couple different ways to produce something that I enjoy drinking. So
that's hard to argue with that.
I don't care if it's really hazy or not.
So
the other thing for me with the whole brewing idea is that I'm really fickle, especially when it comes to what I'm craving at that moment. So the likelihood that I'm going to drink more than, say, a six-pack of something is pretty minimal.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, usually if I get beer, I'll get a couple of different sixes, and I'll kind of work between those two. You know what I mean?
Well, you could do that, though.
You don't have, like, a favorite, like, drink that you...
I do, but I don't know. I really try to keep it mixed up. I mean, I always keep, like, you know, some kind of white beer in the house, right?
You don't know, man. Like... But when my father used to be in this pretty hardcore, like Doug can attest to this. He has taps in his house that go down to a refrigerated cooler system for his kegs.
Yep.
And
yep.
We used to sneak drafts, if you will. I don't know what you'd go. We would go in and we suck it down, and like you had the little, it's like a little mini bar thing. You can make your own beers. There's, I don't know what it is. I could drink his beer all the time. It's not... It just tastes different. It's like when you, if you go to a London bar and you're like, oh my God, this tastes really good. Imagine that at home every fucking night, right?
Does it seem like, this is probably a stupid word, but does it seem like more pure? Like you don't have all sorts of additives or something? I don't know.
No, it just tastes different.
I would think it tastes more pure or crisp or something. I don't know.
But in mass-produced beers, they use a lot of different enzymes to make their beers appear in certain ways. Like, you know how everything's like really clear and really crisp? It's because they use different proteins and use different enzymes to go in and break down some of the protein chains that are sitting around the beer that's making it hazy. So you have all these extra chemicals that are not
adding anything except for appearance.
Which you get in food too. Yeah. Everywhere. The thing is...
carcinogens.
it just has a different... And that's not to say, like, even when my father brewed beer, he still drank normal beer. Like, during the day, he'd drink Coors Light or whatever. Not only does it give you greater appreciation, but you don't... The beer that he's making and Doug's making and stuff is not beer to be taken lightly. A lot of it will knock you on your ass real fast because... The homebrews, for some reason, they have a lot of alcohol in them a lot of the times, unless you work it out. But,
probably because you're top fermenting, right?
No, actually, alcohol content is in direct correlation with the amount of malt you use. Mm. The more malt you use, the more alcohol you're going to have.
Because the yeast eating it all. And it might depend on...
Isn't really the sugar specifically, though, right?
Correct.
Yeah, because you're going to give it
food.
It's directly... related to the yeast, no?
No, it's actually how much sugar you have. So,
right,
if yeast
eats sugar
to use,
and produces
alcohol. Okay, so how much sugar you put into it. Okay, that makes sense.
Right, and it doesn't necessarily have to be malt. So if you want to jack up your alcohol content, you can use like a few pounds of malt and then just use a bunch of corn sugar or rice sugar or what have you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't think my father's ever, you know, purposely made it a high alcohol content in all the cases, but it's suffice to say, if you have a few of these beers, it's not like drinking a six pack of Bud. You're going to feel different. So I think it's like a fine wine for you or food for other people, where at night you're watching a movie and you want to have a good beer. You probably don't want to drink this good beer while you're doing something in the yard or whatever. You want to be able to sit down and enjoy it. So you have that for later, and then during the day, if you're into drinking a lot of alcohol, which some people are, you're drinking something, mass market. Because you're not looking to get wasted, and you're not looking for a fine drink. You're looking for something in between, because you like beer. And I think that's fair to explore all the different beers.
If you come in from mowing the lawn, you're not gonna take one of these, you know, home brews that you've spent so much time creating. You're probably going to grab a Bud or whatever, but then at night when you want to sit back and enjoy it, you'll have that.
And my father's always had two. I don't know about Doug, but I know for us, we always had two different. Normally, we had two on tap, and then maybe one or two different types in the bottle. So, if you're doing this a lot and you're experimenting with different flavors, it's like you're making. I want to make a Pilsner that tastes this way, and I want to make one that tastes that way. You don't have to wait until one's done. You can make three of them at once, and then taste test them all if you remember which batches are which. And then you end up with a lot of beer at the end. So you're not always having the same beer every night or every week. You can go through all your library of beers.
So Doug, do you kind of like keep track of everything that like your different recipes and say this one worked or, you know, I need to add more of this to this or whatever? Or do you just kind of wing it as you go?
No, I have a notebook with every recipe that I've made with tasting notes.
Nice.
Yep.
That's excellent.
He's pro.
Yep.
that you can kind of, you know, tweak it to the
Eye of weight. Newt and Rat 3 days dead.
What?
I don't know.
I didn't get any words from this.
Eye of Newt and Rat 3 days dead.
Did you say you have
dead.
A newt?
I said newt Eye of Newt and Rat
3 days dead, which tastes different than 4 days
dead. Oh. Like yeah, it's from the... Isn't that The Princess Bride?
I believe so.
Yeah. You guys are on
movie.
Track.
Yeah,
I think that was Billy... what's his butt?
Crystal.
Billy. Yeah, Billy Crystal. Yeah.
Hey, Doug. Mm-hmm. So, what's... what makes an American ale...
Nah, he didn't say true love.
What makes me an American ale as opposed to, like, a barley wine or something?
An American ale versus barley wine. American ale... barley wine has a lot more malt. It's a bigger beer when you're going into like the 9% plus alcohol range. Barley wines actually take a freaking absolute forever to actually make just because of how much malt is in it and really how long you really need to let it sit around for its flavors to develop.
So like months
months.
So like a wine.
Closer to a
half breed wine beer.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can, you know, let it sit around in the bottles you can let it sit around in the fermenters for a while and then pull them out and sit them around in bottles for another few months and if you tried it when it first came out, like let's say as soon as you get carbonation in it, like let's say 6 weeks after you initially brew it versus 6 to 12 months down the road, it's going to have a completely different flavor. Whereas an American ale, it's not going to be as strong. So you're looking at the 6% range, 5 to 6%. The color should be a little bit lighter. And the hops that you use are not like the barley wine. It'll probably be a little bit hoppier than a barley wine. Barley wines tend to be malty.
Sweeter,
yes.
Or now, does malty generally translate to chocolatey, or is that just a side effect or a flavor,
no.
An adjunct, if you will?
No, malty more translates into sweetness, and it's going to have a more syrupy mouthfeel. It's gonna taste thicker in the mouth,
like a brown ale.
Thicker, actually.
Thicker than a brown ale.
Yeah, brown ale has more of like a roasted flavor.
So yeah, that's true.
It's just a little too much of a lob. I'll leave
biting
it
tongue.
Biting tongue.
No, trust me, I thought about saying thicker in the mouth before I actually said it, and then I thought it was going to be funny.
And you went with it anyway.
Yeah, it's like
so.
Yeah,
barley wine is a type of ale or a type of.
It's a type of wine. Barley wine. No.
Oh. Okay.
No, I'm just pulling your chain.
It's beer.
Yeah.
It's beer. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and with the brown ale, it's not brown ales are relatively they're not as thick. You just have more roasted malt. And I'm sorry, I'll backtrack. A lot of the differences in the color of beers is once the grain or malt is harvested, it's roasted, and depending on how long you roast your malt, will give you and what kind of malt it is will give you different flavors and different colors. So when you look at a really dark beer, like let's say a Guinness, because everybody's mm-hmm. familiar with Guinness,
right?
They use malt that was roasted until it was very, very dark, and that's where you start getting flavors in beer that it's like toffee flavor or coffee flavor or chocolatey flavor. Okay. That's where that all comes in.
So it's all about
basically
roasting.
You're caramelizing some of the sugar in the malt.
Yeah, I guess you are.
Okay.
That sounds pretty cool. So it's just a roasted malt gets you it's like a roasted malt that's more like Starbucks.
So it doesn't necessarily mean it's any heavier or more alcoholic, right? It's just...
That is correct. That's
interesting because I always think like of Guinness as being like a really heavy, high alcohol beer, but it's probably
the opposite.
Not the case at all.
No,
it's
Guinness
one of the
is really
largest
light.
Misconceptions of dark
yeah.
beer.
Yeah,
because it looks
okay,
like it's
so
manly.
This means it was just roasted longer.
Yeah.
Right. It's like a roasted coffee as opposed – and that's – actually, it, no, it works directly into how Starbucks works too. If you get a black coffee, like just a, like a – I don't know what – I don't know any of their
French
coffees.
Roast.
French roast. Perfect. French roast has less caffeine than some of the other roasts that you can get there. To be honest, if you go to Starbucks and you order a cappuccino, you're going to find it has less caffeine than just ordering their standard fare coffee. It has less because it's got all the crazy stuff in a little cream.
Well, yeah, I would think a cappuccino would be less, but
all
I wouldn't
of them.
Have thought a French roast would be less.
All of them are less unless it's just straight coffee. You can't beat just having straight coffee. I think the color gets us thinking, oh, this is dark is power in caffeine for coffee and alcohol for beer. It's just a psychological thing where it's all
the darker the beer, definitely, like I'm thinking the lighter the beer, it's more watery, it's a lot lighter. But when you see a Guinness and it's got the thick head and it's really dark beer, you're thinking you're gonna get smashed.
Which
actually leads to an interesting question. So what is it about Guinness that makes it kind of a creamier beer versus a lager or something
of that
nature?
Creamier.
It's creamier.
That if you look at the head of it, for example, the bubbles are smaller than what you get out of a normal.
But that doesn't make it. Oh, okay.
It's light.
Well,
I realized it was the chemistry, black and tan. Which one floats? The
Guinness.
The Guinness, right? Because it's lighter. It's got less alcohol in it, so the higher alcohol falls to the bottom.
It's not alcohol. It's specific gravity.
What?
Yeah.
You want to get into the actual chemistry of it?
No, actually,
how many moles?
That's actually a good point, and I totally missed that. During the brew process, once you're done boiling your beer and cooling it down and putting it in the fermentator, you actually take your gravity reading, and you take your original gravity reading,
and so you see
it's called a hydrometer. I think that's what it's called. And you take a reading for that, and it bobs up and down. And then once you ferment your beer and you take it out and you're ready to put it in bottles, you take your second reading. And the difference in your reading is how much sugar has been converted into alcohol. Right. And it actually makes the beer lighter, which is its buoyancy. So
the more dense it is, the stronger it is. No, the other way around.
It's the other way. If there's a bigger swing between your original gravity, which makes the thing float higher up, and your second or your final gravity, which it sinks lower, which means that it's less dense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just realized the answer to my own question, by the way, about Guinness. I remember that they also use nitrogen, which isn't a natural part of the brewing process. They inject it in.
Yeah, they're in the bottle, right?
I meant to say that too. Yeah, they use nitrogen.
They inject it in?
Yeah, when you open the bottle. Or if you crack one open, you can feel it floating inside.
Yeah, you know the widget that exists in the cans and the bottles? That thing is a nitrogen cap. So when you
I usually just get Guinness on tap.
On tap, it's just part of the
It's mixed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you get them, you can try and pull them out. They're really tough. You have to cut the can open.
They used to have just straight old Guinness bottles that didn't have a nitrogen capsule in it, and it was just miserable. It was so bad.
Right.
And did you notice with those, the head of it was darker?
That's right. You end up with a brown head instead of a white head.
Yep.
You mean the white stout's supposed to be?
Right. Yeah.
Except that a lot of the Irish stouts are like that. So you get Beamish or Murphy's. They're the same way.
Right, right, right. If you get a thick cream stout, I've always seen they had an off-white or dark, almost like a chocolate, vanilla chocolate, milk chocolate head.
You can get cream ales, too. I mean, Guinness also makes Kilkenny, and there's a few others like it that have the same kind of process where they throw nitrogen in.
Nitrogen
Boddington's
for the win.
Is another.
Boddington's, that's
yeah. Yeah, actually,
cool.
I love Boddington's.
You don't use nitrogen,
it's such
huh?
a tasty beer.
You need to use nitrogen, dog.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah,
so if you drink enough, can you get the bends?
That's a lot of drinking. So
that is really interesting. It sounds like there's quite a lot of, different factors that go into the actual process. I mean, it's not just ingredients, but it's the temperature and the kind of yeast that you use and all these other things that are really going to affect the outcome.
Holy shit. Are we doing something educational on this?
Oh, I know.
We gotta back
it's amazing
out.
To me
Fuck.
That he knows all of this. I mean, that beer.
Tell me something about. Well, I think we're at carbonation fermenting someplace.
Carbonation.
Hey, wait, no. Don't tell me about that. I want to know about wort. Tell me about wort. What is wort beer juice?
Oh, okay. So wort is what you have once you have boiled your malt with water and hops and chill it.
You have to chill it?
All it is non-fermented beer. That's wort.
And what's it taste like?
It
You have to have tasted
doesn't
it.
Doesn't taste good.
My father's
yeah,
tasted it.
It so doesn't taste good. In no way, shape, or form. It tastes bad. It's not good.
Oh, it's like eating cupcakes before you put in all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Tastes good half-baked.
Chocolate chip cookies. So,
okay, that's gone through the second phase of baking.
What's the point of wort?
It's the wort is everything that is beer without putting in the yeast.
Is it sort of like mash? Is that what they call it for like other...
Like a vodka?
The mash would actually be what we're calling the malt.
Okay, I understand.
So it's basically the core of
the
beer.
The sugary stuff.
It's everything else besides the mash.
There's no yeast and there's no chemistry occurring yet.
Right, gotcha. There's no yeast eating sugar.
Which makes alcohol?
That's what word is. Yeah.
So what we have is beer without alcohol, which we all know is boo.
Which means that it's sanitized.
We don't want any of that. So what do you do with that shit?
You stick it in a container and you let it sit around for a couple weeks.
Holy
shit.
And
then you put it in bottles.
Really? So you throw it in a glass container?
You can use glass. I personally use food grade plastic barrels, 5 gallon plastic barrels.
Oh, really?
Yep.
We always use the, I think they were like the water bottles. I don't know if they were water bottles. They were really big fucking glass things with a little cork on the top.
Cowboys.
Huh?
Yeah. Is this the point where you decide to filter it or not as well?
No. Well, usually if you're going to filter, it's between your first and second fermentation chamber. So a lot of people like start in a primary fermentator, and then once the yeast has pretty much done its job and stops producing CO2, they move it to a secondary fermentator, which allows you to clarify the beer.
Okay.
And then if you really want to get technical at that point, you can start adding enzymes that will further clarify your beer, and you can filter it as well. Into that.
Do you use multiple fermentators? or is it possible just to use a single?
I brew in a primary fermentator, and I don't move it anymore. Used to, and then I decided that I don't really give a fuck how clear or not clear my beer is, as long as it tastes good.
There wasn't enough benefit from it, yeah.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, and especially when I'm... stomach, you know, how they have multiple chambers for different fermentation and all that.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Well,
Jinx, Coke on you.
So when you...
Sling.
Now, is that going to be different if you're bottling as opposed to putting it in a keg? Like at a... Either way?
Either way.
So if you do it, I'm trying to remember back. So if you do single fermentation, if you don't put it into a second chamber, is that where you get the beer that you don't drink the last half inch?
Yes.
Okay, so at the end of the beer,
which is the wort? Is that the wort?
It's just nasty.
Shoot.
Tastes like somebody spitting your beer.
Probably just dead yeast.
Yeah. So what happens? Like after the chemical,
I drink the bottom of the beer. I have no pride.
If you have a homebrew, and a homebrew will tell you this, normally, like, if I know somebody's, like, they give me a home, like, a brew from home, I know this, but some people don't know this, and you can get it in wheat beers, too, so Dave might be more familiar, where you just get this sludge at the bottom, and you pour it, but you leave a little in there, because that's the sludge, and you don't drink it. Most people, if they're normally drinking mass market beers, you pour the whole fucker in there, and you're like, woo, good to go. Homebrew beer.
It's been filtered, and they take off just the top of it, and then they use the appropriate chemicals to make sure it's clear as shit. So.
Right. And yeah, I don't really care about clarity as much as I care about you got to watch out what you're pouring in there. Some people like to put a little extra. Like I know like with Flying Dog, some of them have the – like with the wheat beers, there's a lot of sediment at the bottom, and they're like pour it right in to make it cloudy. If you don't pour the sediment, it's clear. You pour the sediment, and it's cloudy. And it does change the taste of the beer, for good or bad, depending on your palate.
Blue Star, has anybody had Blue Star?
No, I've never had Blue Star.
It's a wheat. I fucking hate wheat beer. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's true. You don't like wheat beer at all.
That's no, uh-huh. but Blue Star, it's fuck, what brew company is it? I think it's North Coast Brew Company. They also do Red Seal ale, which is a phenomenal ale. Blue Star. It's a yellow. It's a yellow six pack with a big Blue Star on it. You can't miss it if you have.
So where'd
the
they get their name from?
Definitely not the packaging.
Hmm. With a big blue star on it.
Yeah, what came first, the chicken and the egg?
The Blue Star. So you say that has fermentation on the bottom? Or cloudy?
I don't know. They I just know that they have the little bit of yeast left over down at the bottom.
So I'm actually looking at their website right now, and they have a beer called Brother Thelonious Belgian Style Abbey Ale, which is just kick-ass. I need to buy this.
Is it North Coast?
It is.
Sweet.
Northcoastbrewing.com.
So, what I don't remember when my father brewed
free beer.
He did the half kegs. I think they were half kegs or quarter kegs or whatever the hell they were. They don't. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any. Is it just because you have to go all the way to the bottom of the keg before you get the sediment?
Yes.
Okay. We never hit.
You
that.
Have to go. No, you have to go to the very bottom, and I'm pretty sure that your dad was using multiple fermentation tanks, or fermentation chambers. So when you do that, you're going to have clearer beer. Yeah. Your dad still in. And I don't know if it's just because I don't know what kind of – I obviously wasn't as much of a beer drinker as I am now.
You were like 17 or 16 or 15.
I want to say 17 or 18, but yeah. When he broke out that year-old stout, I still to this day believe that is the best beer I've ever had in my life.
All I remember is we were crawling on the floor.
I'm having such a hard time relating to this because my dad drank one beer every day, which was Miller. In a can. The champagne draft, of beers.
That would be the High Life. Was he drinking the High Life?
Yes, the High Life.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yep, that was
whatever makes you
choice.
Happy.
Well, what made us happy was...
Dad's homemade stout.
Well, my father made a lot. It was actually for Christmas, but we got that. But for my family, we always had big family things. And it was usually Doug's side and my side got together. Because me and Doug spent most of the summers together. And there was a lot of alcohol at our family. We're German family, and we're into alcohol. So we had the taps. Mm-hmm. Then my father pulled out the stout. And that was like, he's like, oh, yeah, I've had this for a couple of years down there. We need to get rid of it because it's going to go bad. And you're like, whoa, okay. What does that mean? It means it's fuck ton of alcohol. It just had a it was good. It was like a wine of beers. It's hard to describe, and you really for
yes,
home
but
brews,
not the champagne of beers.
No, not the champagne of beers.
No, that's Miller.
Right,
that's right.
Right, exactly. So this is like the red. This is like the 30-year-old red ride of beers. It's you don't
red
understand.
What?
I've been drinking. So there's with home brews. It's tough to describe a home brew because they all taste a little different, but they all have like that really kick-ass taste to them. And when you're 17 and you're tasting this shit, you're like, oh my god, this is the nectar of the gods. Especially since you're not even alcohol. You're not even supposed to be drinking alcohol at that age to
right.
begin with. So there's a lot
freaking
of nostalgia. But I mean, for us, I think me and Doug grew up different because for most people, it's like if you can get a 40 or a Bud or something, you were doing really well. For us, it was like, oh yeah, we were drinking, cream stouts and porters and high-end alcohol at a younger age than most people when they were trying to sneak beers. We would just go to the tap.
Yeah, actually, that's true. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but I guess there is a benefit to being a father who brews his own beer.
I think that's great. I mean, I don't know. I think alcohol can just, I don't know. I think it can just add things to a meal or to a celebration or whatever. I just think it's great that you guys grew up around like such a...
I think it's actually a little bit healthy to have an environment where alcohol
I do
is
too.
A totally taboo thing. You know?
Oh, I know.
Exactly.
I'm not encouraging
where
that
it's
you
part
give
of the
your kids,
culture.
A bunch of shots or something. But what I'm saying is, if you go to Europe or wherever, it's really common to, you have a glass of wine with your meal. Big deal.
An appreciation for it where,
right.
You're probably not going to end up abusing it, but it's something that you're going to kind of incorporate into your lifestyle. Or
no,
right.
No.
I think it's
and
great.
A respect for it instead
exactly.
of like, oh,
yeah.
I'm going to sneak off with, a bottle of whatever and get wasted
right.
somewhere in the woods.
There is a difference.
Seriously, when I listen to to Doug, I think, wow, I really need to learn some more about, you know, what my options are out there. You know, I sort of do the same thing and same old thing all the time. And I don't know. I think it's great to have that kind of knowledge.
You guys have a good point, though. Like, even I noticed this in college a lot, is a lot of people went to college and it was their first time away from their parents, and they weren't allowed to drink. So underage, overage, whatever it was, right when they could get their access on alcohol, it was like no holes barred. How fucked up can you get? Light some furniture on fire, throw out the window.
I mean, you know what, dude? It's not just the whole whether or not they could have alcohol. It was whether or not they had any sort of freedom before they got to college.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
There were some people in my dorm, for example, that were just, you know, they had gone to private high schools. They had a really restricted life. They didn't go out or anything. And they were out of control in college, you know?
Right. And
Whereas us white trash kids who got away with murder, you know, we're all good.
Well, for people like me and Doug, where we had the beer early, and I, you know what, it pisses me off actually that it would be considered illegal for our family to serve us alcohol underage with full responsibility of us. Like, we didn't drive, we didn't do anything stupid. It was like a holiday, right? Yeah, whatever. You drink some beer. We never really got trashed. I mean, there were some times with some brandy, it was a little out of control, but it was all by accident. But you learn, right? You
Brandy's
learn
your tough one, though.
I know, and you learn that.
It goes down.
But you learn it real quick. When you do it, you're like, "Oh my fucking god, I'm gonna die!" Right? And then you get over it, and you do all that crazy stuff. You don't go fucking flying on top of windmills and doing stupid shit. All you do is you're drinking for the taste.
Wait a minute, when did this happen?
No, never mind. No. Or climbing the dean's building in college. Yeah, none of that.
It's very European. It's very, you know, where it's just part of the family celebration.
It's the fabric of society. You're drinking beer for the taste, for the party, for the whole occasion. You're not drinking it because your parents aren't around and you're going to get as fucked up as you can before they get home. No, it's really it's a different experience.
I think that's great.
I just want to point out, unless you have a daughter, in which case you don't want her. You want to keep her locked in the basement.
Right. No, I have
Well, yeah, she doesn't have any access whatsoever. Right.
No, you know what I've learned? And this may change as I get older, but I'm not going to follow the U.S. rules of you can't, you know, don't let your kids drink underage. I want them to drink earlier so that they can grow a little respect for it and understand what it can do to you before you go to college. You get trashed, knocked up, and you're kicked out for having like a 2.0 average. I want to do all this stuff early and get them used to it as a lifestyle rather than as a offshore occasion.
I think you're 100% right. One of the girls that I went to high school with, actually, her parents, before she went to college, they took her aside and got her drunk to show her how many beers or how many drinks it would take to get to that point.
Right.
And rather than having your first drunk experience like mine was in a college dorm. Yeah, I was a little bit of a late bloomer. I didn't really drink in high school, but
okay.
You know, at a high school party or in a college dorm or something, you're having it in the safety of your own home and you're kind of figuring out your relationship with it. And, you know, I think you're probably a lot better off.
You want to know how much you can handle and what it's going to be like so that when you go to college, you're not taken advantage of.
Exactly.
I think it's fair.
Yep.
Right, Doug?
Man, look at this. We're learning shit. We're talking about social issues.
How to parent.
Who the fuck are you people?
Only one of us has kids, but that's okay.
Wow, I feel
like... The rest of us can talk authoritatively about it.
I feel like the minority...
Hopefully, many of our listeners have kids.
dude, no, seriously. I've looked at the demographic for what we have for an audience. It's like 100...
Oh, that guy Bob?
No, it's like 100,000 or plus for salary. 50 years or older, 40 to 50 years. We have an older audience. They understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, because they're
interesting.
Wanting to, they're want because a younger audience maybe doesn't care as much what they drink. They just want
to
drink whatever's there.
They would be like, "What the fuck are you guys talking about?" What they don't
it's
even know
sort
what an
of a
ounce
quality
is.
Of life thing. It's kind of like the finer things in life. You know, you kind of like figuring out what you like to drink, and you know, I don't know.
And
as you get older,
I guess there's something to be said for that too. I mean, in the sense that we're not, you know, fresh out of college, we have established careers, we have, you know, fairly concrete lives at this point. So
hey, Doug.
Hey, Derek.
So we're head into carbonation for a minute, will ya?
Okay. Real quick, carbonation it can be achieved via two different methods. You can either bottle condition your beer, which requires you to add like a cup of corn sugar to your beer right before you put it in bottles. So basically, the way that I bottle my beer is I have my primary fermentation bucket, and then I have my second one. And so I put a one cup sugar, corn sugar solution in the bottom of my second barrel. And then I move my beer from the first barrel to the second barrel. And then once I have all the beer in there, from there, I then put it in bottles. So basically what you're doing is,
How do you move it? What, you just pour it right in there? You like put the sugar in there and then pour it right in?
No, I put the primary like on a cabinet. And then I put the secondary on the floor.
Yep.
And then I have a rubber hose that I connect
That now.
A spigot that comes out the bottom. And so really I just dump the beer it from one bucket into another
like
via
a fish
plastic
tank.
Tube.
It's sort of like a fish tank, draining the fish tank.
Exactly. And so when you're racking your beer, you're putting the sugar into it. And then so whatever yeast is left in the beer after you're done transferring from one to another, the yeast starts to eat on the sugar that you now introduced into your beer. That ends up in the bottle, and then so the yeast eats the sugar and produces CO2.
Yeast fart. And then
yeast fart.
And that's what gets your chemical. That's what gets the carbonation in the beer, so it bubbles.
That's what does it.
And it also creates a pst when you crack open the top.
Yeah, that's why it goes. Psst,
and if you put
yeast fart
too much
doesn't
sugar,
it smell great?
Then you put too much sugar, it goes, and that's when the glass shatters everywhere.
In the event you either
that was a kick ass sound effect.
It was a good sound effect.
I'm a video game player.
I peed a little. I was so scared.
I like that. I like when you pee, Dave.
If you bottle your beer too early, or if you put too much sugar in the beer when you're bottling it, you will blow bottles up. I have never had that happen to me.
Is a standard amount of sugar for? I mean, does it really matter the type of beer? Or is it always like the same amount of sugar?
It's the same amount of sugar.
Do people blow them up?
You see, that's the thing.
Well,
I don't really know how
the beer is a retard. So
retards. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. If you can't follow a recipe, you're gonna fuck something up.
Just follow it right up. Whatever it says, that's what you use.
That's what you should do.
That seems fair.
Second method of carbonation is forced carbonating or pumping CO2 into the beer. This is how
my father
99% of the major beer producing companies, 99.9 probably, carbonate their beer. Your dad
that took a
carbonated
while.
His beer.
We would put the carbonation in, and then we'd push the bottle up, and we'd like take the half kegs, and you'd have to keep tipping them up. I think we tip them upside down, or did we
Doesn't
just shake them?
Violate child labor laws?
Well, no.
You actually rock. You rock it on your knee.
And it goes, and you could feel the weight of it just like sliding back and forth as the CO2 was like just carbonating the beer. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Although it is the child labor side of it is, I should talk to my father about that. He owes me money.
But you were being paid in beer, so you know it's
I guess point. Yeah, I guess it was all it was a little labor of love, really, really, yeah.
So
I was just gonna get down a child prostitution path.
Yeah, it's kind of the way he said that.
Yeah,
love.
It was a little creepy.
It was a SpongeBob reference. Sorry,
I thought so too.
Holy crap. So I bottle condition. Most of the people that I know that have brewed their own beer bottle condition. Derek's dad is the exception. He's the only home brewer that I know that actually force carbonated their beer.
Yeah, but he started bottle conditioning.
Which is cool.
That's what we did for the first couple of years. It's like once you hit the plateau where once you want to bring the stuff from the basement into their living room, or in our case, into the dining room with a tap. That's when things started to change, when he's like, you know what, I'm going to make a fridge. And then he got – really what it came down to is he just got sick of washing all the beer bottles and putting them through the – using the bleach and putting them in the in the dishwasher and running them through there and then having to sit down and bottle them and cap them all, right? It was just easier to put it in the keg. Yeah.
Just tap it.
So to put it in the keg and then and shake it around. Yeah, tap that shit, bitch. You put that stuff in the keg and you shake that shit up. You throw it in the little refrigerator downstairs. We were good to go. You had beer right on the tap. It.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not everybody has that luxury.
You're at home, you know?
Right. Exactly. If I would do it, I'd love to have a tap. Seriously, yeah. I would like to have
a
tap.
I think it's cooler, you know, if you have a bar and you have friends over and you got it on tap.
And I mean, you could still have a bottle condition to have some in there for you know, especially big parties. Because when you have the tap, the problem is it becomes infinitely accessible.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's that. What do you need to do when you brew your own beer? Like, what do you do, Doug? You have say you had 11-point list. What would it be?
Oh, okay. So actually, that's what you would need to brew beer. What would you need to brew beer?
Yeah.
You should probably like beer. You're going to need malt or for the yeast to eat. So you need like malt or rice malt or sorghum or the like. You need water, hops, and yeast. You're going to need a carboy or other food grade fermenting tank. You need a chamber lock, which is the little cork thing that goes on the top that bubbles so you know when your yeast is done because the chamber lock stops bubbling. Oh, and if you don't have something on the top of your fermentator, shit that floats around in the air like bacteria and stuff, if it gets in your beer, it's going to fuck it up.
You don't want that.
No, you don't want that unless you like skunky beer. You need a plastic hose. To move the beer from one tank to another, you need a hydrometer. I have gravity reader here. I couldn't remember what it was called.
It reads gravity.
So you can figure out the alcohol content of your beer or to take your specific gravity, your original gravity, and your final gravity.
So that you can make black tanks.
You need bottles. If you're using bottles, actually, I don't even have this written. You need a bottle capper.
I have one.
And you need about 4 weeks of patience, depending.
It takes you 4 weeks to bottle your caps?
No. It takes about 2 weeks for the beer to ferment, and then it takes another 2 weeks for the beer to bottle condition.
Yeah, I was just giving you shit.
Bottle condition, that's when the yeast, the carbonation,
yeast is sugar that you put in the bottle, and then you get your carbonation without the bottle exploding.
Well, that's not too bad then.
It's a month's worth of your time. It's not that bad.
Yeah. Actual work, you'll probably put 5 or 6 hours into it.
Okay.
That's, you know, with all the cleaning that you have to do, with the actual boiling, with the actual waiting around for the shit to cool off, and then the bottling process. So.
Think you would say it's very, very much worthwhile, right? I mean.
Oh, it's a blast. It's fun to do.
Yeah, it's fun. It's rewarding, probably. Like when you cook a really nice meal.
Yeah, except that you have that meal for like months if you drink slow.
Exactly. Whereas the cooking of the meal is like a night, but that's great.
Unfortunately, the beer that I make, I tend to find really, really, really good. So
it's kind of like a night.
It's longer than that, but I have.
You go
like the last ale that I made had this, and I've never actually had this characteristic of an ale ever, but had a really interesting pineapple taste on the front end, and it actually kind of smelled it too. So
could you reproduce it?
I was kind of happy with that. Yeah.
That sounds really good.
Do you get to the point where you want to reproduce?
Pumpkin,
right. No, definitely.
Well, no, but nothing is, but still.
But do you get to the point where if you make a beer, can you go back? Would you? Actually, you can because you write it all down. But would you go back and make the same beer? Or would you be tempted to try something a little different?
The last ale that I made, which I think was the third attempt at my American Pale Ale, I will definitely remake that particular recipe as it stood.
So you take your recipes, put them aside, and say this is a, I don't know, a top end recipe. This is one that I'll put in the book. Says I want to do this again, regardless of if I'm going to morph it into something in the future, this itself stands alone, and then I can go and try something different later.
Yep, it was a keeper.
That's pretty cool. And it, so you'll drink now. Have you ever run out of beer? Like you've just drank all of the beer you made. Now you're like sad because you've got wort and you don't have any beer.
Yes, I have.
That sucks.
Yes, like actually, right now I don't have anything going. The next beer that I'm going to make, I'm going to make a high gravity export ale.
Export ale. What's an Shipyard has an export ale, but what's I've never heard of an export ale as a type of ale. What
makes it export? Illegal aliens to do all the work for you.
It's all Mexican run.
That would actually be an import ale.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Export would be Americans going. Yeah.
Yeah, this would all be what, high alcohol, so they can make it overseas.
Or actually, that would be my outsource ale.
Outsource ale.
This is like that whole stalactite.
It's an American pale ale made in India. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. What?
Do not go to stalactite.
Stalactite, stalagmite. One grows in the ceiling, one grows in the floor, Dave.
Oh my God. It's the wild turkey.
Is it cherubim or seraphim that grows from the ceiling? I always confuse that one, too.
Stalactites grow from the ceiling, stalagmites grow from the floor. Is that what you want to know? I know that.
Nerd.
Oh.
You just took a perfectly good joke and just totally cocked it up.
Yeah, he did. He was just like all about the nerd win.
Well, actually, it works like this.
Yeah, if you really want to know.
Sorry I nerded that up for you, Dave.
That's right.
Maybe next time.
Nice going.
Sorry, Doug.
Sometimes I just want to hug him. This is one of those times. Keep going.
Doug?
Which, I mean, if you actually read between the lines of keep going, that actually just said, are we fucking done yet?
Well, it is midnight, but that's okay because I don't have to work tomorrow.
Rub it in, rub it in.
Damn, this ended up being a long one.
Sorry.
Anyway, where were we?
What? Where were we?
Trying to tell us something. Joke that Derek was screwing up.
No, I screwed up. That's all done and done.
Okay, no, it's dead.
The down and dirty step-by-step brew process.
All right, I'm blowing through this.
Okay.
All right, down and dirty step-by-step brew process. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to bring your malt and some water to a boil. You're going to add your hops depending on what the recipe calls for. And yes, if you are brewing for the first time, you sure as shit better be following a recipe. oh, shit. Okay, so you add the hops depending on what the recipe calls for, and a specific amount of hops at a specific time in the boiling or brewing process affects how the beer ultimately tastes. For example, you add X amount of ounces at 60 minutes, you add X amount of ounces at 45 minutes, you add X amount of hops at or ounces at such and such minutes. Anyway, follow your recipe. Once you're done boiling, which usually takes about 60 minutes, you're going to drop your wort down to about 80 to 90 degrees Fahrenheit. If you're not in the U.S., that'd be about 26 to 32 degrees Celsius. Put the wort into your fermentator. Add the yeast. After about a week, you'll notice that the chamber lock, which is the thing that you put on the top of your fermentator, isn't bubbling anymore. That means your yeast is done farting, which means that it doesn't have any more sugar to convert. You can then let the beer sit around another week, or you can move it to a secondary fermentator if you want your beer to be pretty, or better, not cloudy as fuck. You do this. After about 2 weeks, you have non-carbonated beer. Either dump about a cup of corn sugar into about a cup of water and then add this to your beer and put it in the bottles, or put the beer into a keg and force carbonate. If you do the former, cap it, wait 2 weeks. If you do the latter, chill it and drink the shit. You have now brewed beer. Good job.
So you can drink it that day?
If you force carbonate, yes.
Oh, fuck.
No,
that would be the day.
I had no idea.
The way Dave wanted. Yeah, this is how my father did it. It was instant. You didn't have to wait. Dave would do it this way.
Yeah, because I mean, you have all the taste that it's going to have. You have all the alcohol that it's going to produce. So really, you're just making it fizzy,
bubbling it up, bitches.
Other notes on brewing: yes, brewing can be a lot more complicated. Yes, you can brew some awful shit and not know it for a month. Oh, nice phonetics there in the fucking Google.
Hooked on phonics worked for me.
No, 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 no. Three, yes, you can ruin your beer by non-sanitize anything that happens to come into contact with your beer. By the way, if you're brewing beer, you are going to have to sanitize every fucking thing. You're going to have to bleach it. You're going to rinse it out. You're going to have to spend so much time making sure your shit's clean. Because if you don't, you're going to fuck up your beer, and it's going to be a lot of wasted time for shit.
Don't do that.
Number four, or excuse me, five, yes, it can be time-consuming, the brewing process. Six, yes, it can be easy, too. I tend to go on the easy side. Yes, you can order anything you need to brew beer online. If you're in, I'll plug the brew store that I go to, www.AmericanBrewMaster. That's AmericanBrewMaster.com. American Brewmaster.
Don't just spell American.
Yeah, if anyone needed you to spell American Brewmaster, they should not be brewing beer because it's going to be a disaster. Okay.
Yeah, but their site's pretty cool. They got ops pictures.
I was just helping. You can order anything you possibly need. If you need a beer brewing starter kit.
What's helpful shit? What podcast is this? Who are you people?
I'm sorry. I'll be drunk on the next one.
We started
one.
This
I'll
out
be
with
totally
technical porn. Now we're giving helpful URLs to people about
he's
how
gonna
to...
He's going to be ornery on the next one.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a little ornery right now.
No, I'm not.
Keep going.
Yes, you'll probably have to pay for shipping if you order it online. Or if you live anywhere near a largish town, you'll probably have a brew store relatively close. Just Google. And no, it's not my fault your beer came out shitty.
It's never your fault.
Your own damn fault. No, it's not my fault.
No, because people should pay fucking attention to their instructions.
Yep, that's what I'm saying.
Have you ever brewed a bad batch of beer?
I've never brewed a bad batch of beer.
Why? Because like Dave, you're fucking awesome, or you follow instructions.
Whoa! Did someone just compare someone else to me?
Sorry, Dave. I don't know.
This doesn't even make sense.
I'm sorry.
How could you do that?
I'll flog myself after this episode.
There's definitely no lack of egos amongst you people.
I mean, unless we're having one of those orders of magnitude discussions, in which case, okay, I might be a comparison point.
Now I want to hug you.
Let's have hugs all around.
Well, that was a good step by step.
Virtual hug.
A lot more. I don't know. A lot easier. Not easier, but a lot more straightforward than I thought it would be.
Yeah. What was the first thing you brewed?
I brewed a porter.
Why?
Because it sounded like a good idea.
Okay, so there's really. I mean, you're not in love with porters. You just decided porter. Boom.
Oh, I love porters.
Oh, okay. So you like them.
No, I just happened to decide that I wanted to brew a porter.
Porters are not something I find in the store very often. Like, you don't go looking for porters. They're just like, oh, look, a porter. Like, it's not a popular beer.
No, not a lot of people make them, which is unfortunate.
Back to the whole, what Kate said earlier, where a lot of people are scared of porters because they have that impression that it's going to be this really heavy, thick, syrupy
mess.
You know, high alcohol. Yeah. But the reality is, a lot of people, when they try Guinness for the first time, go, oh, wow, that's not nearly as thick as I thought it was going to be.
You can have like 100 of them and not even be drunk.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Let's say four is a good number.
Yeah.
You can have four and be like, whoa, I'm not even drunk, because it's like not a lot of alcohol. That's why you always go with black and tan.
No,
that way you have half.
The alcohol content of Guinness is like 4.5.
Yeah.
So I learned something last week that I just wanted to point out. If you're going to be flying out somewhere in the morning, cross country, say, don't drink 7 beers the night before.
Why? Pee?
Really?
Poopies?
Not a great idea. It's just, you wind up like, no. You wind
poopies.
Up with like really dehydrated really quickly, basically.
I can see that. And then what do?
Because you're on the plane and like you get a stiff neck and it's just.
Oh, so the muscles don't like that.
I mean, not that it would happen to me. I'm just speaking.
You get a stiff neck. I bet you do.
What else was stiff, Dave?
You guys are so good.
My neck muscles.
I'm not sure where you guys are going with this.
I'm not really going anywhere. I was just following up Doug.
Yeah. So I think
the most surprising thing for me is that you can actually, if you wanted to, and if you forced carbonation and everything else, but you could actually do it in a 24-hour period.
Actually, you need the couple of weeks for
first stage.
The yeast eating part.
Oh, okay.
So 2 weeks that. You'd be good, which is about the same for root beer.
That's great. I mean, that's pretty quick.
Dude, for me, 2 weeks without a beer is not that abnormal. It depends.
Well, it's not like you can't pick up, you know, like I know, like, I don't know, you can't pick up something at the store.
Oh, like a 60-pack of Natty Ice, bitches.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Snap right, into it.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, what's cool into is when a 60-pack of... You know, if you choose to recycle the cans, you can crush them on your head.
Right. But you know, and you know what, though? While you're doing this, if you're bottle fermenting and you have this sucker in a, hold on, let me get this right. Fuck, there's a lot of words here. Ah, shit.
It's, you know, I say that whenever I do a big presentation in front of you. Oh, fuck, there's a lot of words here.
Oh my god, what's the receptacle?
Take your whole job at his company.
Oh my god.
Isn't he in your whole job?
Hold on, what?
I thought you took Dave's
whole
job.
Yeah, I did, yeah, and it sucks ass. And now I'm going to have two people's jobs. It's going to fucking suck.
It took me almost 2 days to laugh, to stop laughing when he took my job.
Yeah. Asshole.
You idiot.
Except I code more. What the fuck is the name of that glass receptacle?
The Carboy?
Yeah, Carboy. So, I don't even know what I was saying. Thank you, Dave.
Is a Carboy like a pool boy, but different?
Yes, it's just like that.
Very different.
Hmm. Yeah, one's in the pool, one's in a car.
One's hot, I forgot what one's glass.
Shit. I was going to say something about 2 weeks.
Being the only chick here. No one can relate to my...
I can relate. Wait, what are you saying?
Well, no, the problem is if anybody shows any sign of relating to it, the other people in the group are going to start yelling fag and, you know.
I won't yell fag.
Right. Oh, I understand you, Kate. When I dress in panties, I feel the same way.
Derek, I knew we had a little connection going.
We're just like the same, except for you have bigger boobies than me.
And there's wrinkle dates.
But I'm taking the chemicals. Pretty soon, my boobies will be as big as yours.
I don't think so.
I'm going to have really, really bad dreams.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that awesome? I am too, and it was me.
And I have this urge to Photoshop Derek at this point.
You would not be the first.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, Derek. You were talking about the
Carboys.
We were talking about the 2 weeks.
I was going to say that if you had a Carboy, you could put some beer in there, and then and if you did the... If you put it in a keg, you can have it and drink it in 2 weeks. That's not too bad. I could totally do that, except for all the stuff that goes in between. But I mean, 2 weeks, I don't drink that much beer. I think if I had how much beer do you make with a single batch, Doug?
2 cases. 48.
Shit.
48 bottles.
That would take me forever. No, honestly. I drink about 2 beers a month. So do the math. It's a long time. I wouldn't have to brew that much beer.
The point to get across is, like, I mean, for me anyway, I was thinking...
Well, you drink, like, 48 bottles of wine a week.
No, I don't.
I don't know if anyone's really going to be doing this for the economics of it, though. You know what I mean? It's more the hobby aspect. I don't think someone's going to be like, well, if I brew my own beer, I'm going to save money. Well, okay, maybe in the long run.
No, but. No. You know what? I wouldn't even care if I didn't save money. I think it's just a matter of, like, you know, like, pride in your own... Kind of like cooking your own meals. But anyway, I think, like, for me, like, I always thought that... Brewing your own beer would take a really long time, like months, before you would see any kind of a product. But to know that, you know, in 2 weeks you could actually see something.
Right. And in a month you'd have bottled beer. Honestly, I don't know if I could drink all the beer. I wouldn't be able to brew that often. I would probably end up, I would guess, brewing more and giving it away. Because, I mean, giving away is kind of cool because other people get to experience your beer and be like, oh, that's pretty cool. And they're not paying any money for it. And they're getting, you know, you might just ask them for the bottles back or something. You might economically save money in the end. But again, it's a hobby that actually has a product at the end that tastes good. And if you're a big beer drinker, that's a good thing. If you drink Bud and you don't think of anything else besides Bud, this might not be a hobby for you. I think the thing to take away here, maybe not that we're going to go all brew our own beer, which someday I probably will. The method, it's the chemistry. It really is. It's like what you're what you're drinking is not just, it doesn't just make itself. There's people who sit there for months and years trying to figure out how to make a recipe that they want. Not to mention, even mass market or microbrews, even microbrews are still mass market than anything we're going to drink. So to know how much work that a mass or a microbrew goes through to do all of this, to be able to cover, you know, four or five states, that's a lot of people.
Yep.
Right, and I think Doug's got the right idea, you know, keeping a notebook of everything he does, because you never know when that batch is going to be the one that you really enjoy or whatever, like the one that Doug was saying, one of them tasted, you know, it had a pineapple taste to it or whatever, and different batches have different character, and if you really keep track of it as you go, then you can really fine-tune it.
If you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. And
yeah,
record what the hell you're doing. It's like, you know, coming up with a recipe and you're like, oh, fuck, man, how did I make that rabbit? did I use garlic powder or not? Fuck, man, I would love to taste that rabbit again.
Right. Or share that rabbit with others when they come over for a party.
But people might not think to, like, write it down, because some people are more off the cuff, you know, but I think it's a great idea to, like, keep track of your different batches or whatever.
Especially when you're going to have a party and you're like, oh, I want people over. That would happen in our house. It's like, oh, we're going to start brewing beer. This was like September. We'll brew beer for Christmas. I'm like, okay, what are you making? I'm going to make this, this, and this. Okay. Forethought. You know, for me, like, Christmas. Oh, that's next week. We should brew beer. Oh, fuck.
Hey, yes, right. My problem is I'd get into a scenario like that and try to do some hack science to try to get the stuff accelerated and wind up becoming like the beer Unabomber. Like, okay, some of these may explode in your face.
The beer Unabomber.
This is a cranberry cream stout with slight bomb tactics. Okay.
Yeah. And pay no attention to the diesel fuel smell.
That's an experiment to accelerate the brewing process. This beer was made yesterday. I think we've extended this way beyond what we need to do anyway. So do you want me to do the sign out, or you want to do it, Doug?
No, you can do it.
All right. You've been talking a lot. I'll do the sign out for you, Doug. This is Derek Schomer for Doug, Dave, Kate, and our podcast producer, Luke Lydahl. You've just been buzzed by EverydayDrinkers.com. Check us out at EverydayDrinkers.com. And I'd like to thank Doug for taking the time to write all this up and give us a brief glimpse, 2-hour glimpse, into beer brewing and what it can do for everybody.
A brief 2-hour glimpse.
Oh, that's half the time, considering how much it takes to brew a beer, weeks. And I hope everybody will take the time to think about what we said about, you know, educating your kids before they get to college and they go do something stupid and get pregnant.
Oh my God. You know. Oh no. Cut that out.
Cut that out. That's fun. We don't want that in there.
Stop that.
That's when everybody starts going, oh my God, stop talking. Stop talking.
Is Derek still saying that aloud?
What did Wait. Guys, did I just say that? My brain? No. Just kidding. Anyway, thank you for listening. This is EverydayDrinkers.com.
Sponsored by Zinfandel. Fine-ass wine.
Well, real quick, I did look it up, and there is a Wikipedia entry on tentacle erotica.
I don't think we were recording when we were just talking about that.
Yeah, so for you kids
but
at home.
But I'm glad you brought that up.
So
all of you listeners out there, if you were wondering if there was a Wikipedia article on tentacle erotica,
there is. Are there proper citations?
Yeah, it does. It does look like it. Although there is a note at the beginning that says the introduction of this article is too short.
Yeah, because you need to know a lot more than just the words tentacle erotica.
Yeah, and they have a very
interesting...
The
first line, though, even though it may be short, is in fact fantastic. It says, tentacle rape, or shokusuku gukan, is a concept found in some horror hentai films, where various tentacle creatures, usually fictional monsters, rape or otherwise penetrate women, or less commonly, men.
Yeah, and
now,
check out
how
the...
How often can you see that in an encyclopedia of any kind, really?
Dude, I've never even seen it in the movie theater.
Most people get it on video,
I guess.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see it on Sesame Street. Like, this episode is brought to you by tentacle porn.
Right. I mean, I've seen some horror flicks. I've seen Scream. I've seen, you know, spoofs on horror flicks. I've seen non-horror flicks. Never have I seen any non-human penetrate another woman who was, in fact, human. So,
look, pretty much that's about where you want to be when it comes to the internet. Because if you start looking, you're going to find it.
Yeah, that's
true. And
then
you can never wash that out of your brain.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I actually just do cold fusion in my basement, but you're not ready for it.
No, we're not. A few years.
And I have 2D batteries downstairs rigged up so that it can produce 1.1 gigawatts of electricity.
I just use a perpetual motion machine.
Right, I was going to say, damn it, that's what I was going to say. Free energy for the win.
Free energy.
Oh my god.
Well done.
Doug, you want to go on to the carbonation and such? I gotta pee, or I'm going to fucking pee
I
on my glass.
I do too.
Yeah. Oh, you want to take a
pee break?
All right.
Pee break. Yeah.
Pause.
Let's do that.
Luke's listening to this and he's like, God, I hate when they have long fucking breaks, because then I don't know when I'm going to have to actually start working again.
They're pretty easy to see in the, like, if you're looking at the waveform, though. It's just this, like, dead
air.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Unless we're talking shit. Which case.
Yeah, and then now he's like, fuck, now I can't do it anymore. Yeah, you are.
Man, I had to pee so bad.
Hey, so when you did your pause music, what game was that from?
What are we talking about?
Like, when you left, you went, okay, time for a peace pause.
I don't know, I made it up.
Oh, okay. Because I was pulling for Zelda.
Oh. Doo-doo. No, that wasn't Zelda. I don't remember. Oh, yeah, that was Zelda.
Yeah.
Is Cape still peeing?
Yes.
It takes him longer.
You know why? Well, wait, that came out of the
No, Derek, why?
Because I got to unzip, pull down the... No.
Boys have a pee-pee.
No. Here's the deal. Chicks.
Are you guys talking about how come I've been gone for so long?
Yes. No, yeah, but I was... No, it came, out, was. It came out real bad.
Because I'm really hungry, and I had to get another glass of, actually, something to drink, and I actually moved over to wine. So I had to open a new bottle of wine, and blah, 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 so...
This segment of Everyday Drinkers is brought to you by the Stadium Buddy for when you don't want to get up to go.
Well, I have noticed. Oh, that's
enjoy just... having a bag of urine around your ankle. We have the product for you.
Right, portable catheter.
And it's
in my
really...
case, I can stand way back.
Right,
you know what
that's
I'm
the point I was getting to, and
way
I was waiting
back.
For Dave's ego to come into play and like pick up on that. Capitalize on that.
Right.
Thanks for the lob. I appreciate that.
There's nothing you're like welcome. Walking into the stall when your buddy's at the urinal and being like, "Wow, this water's cold." I love when you do that.
It's deep too. There's sand in the bottom.
Oh, you guys are the best.
when we get drunk, we know we can do it in certain, and we can be recovered before work starts. It's all about timing.
Isn't it?
Yes.
And we also have learned how to work hungover. Yeah, exactly. How to go to work hungover and have no one notice.
We got to write a book. How to go to work hungover and not have anybody notice.
It's talent.
It's called remote access.
Actually, Derek and I used to work with somebody who could That's probably true. Contribute to that.
No, he always came to work drunk. You could tell. And he whacked off in the men's room. Come on.
Yeah, all right.
None of this is fitting
Don't
what you're talking
to
about.
Derek for politeness.
Well, it was better than the last.
He's going to tell it like
I'm going to tell you like it is.
Which is why we like him so much.
There's no need for me to lie. What's up?
What are you doing in there?
Yeah, I hear something awfully odd.
That's not me.
Whacking off.
Who is that?
Hey, man, are you drunk?
That's Wait, Doug. No.
Doug, stop.
Go away. Hold on. Dude, just shut.
You're interrupting my concentration.
I know there's a reason I come here. Wait.
Wait. Oh, God. Sticky, sticky.
I worded that badly. Can I start? Is there any do-overs? I'm not going to say, Luke, don't edit this. Or
don't
edit
even
this.
Do it.
Yeah, that would be dumb.
No, don't bother.
Don't edit
What's the like podcast equivalent of a what's the golf game? Mulligan?
Mulligan. You get a couple of those every podcast. Guys, you gotta pretend you didn't hear that. Because that was really not right. There's certain things you can't unhear, and sling is one of them.
Where did sling even I don't know.
It was the zing.
It was my zing from last podcast.
I know how it happened, but whatever made his tongue make that motion.
You don't know what beer can do to you until you had a couple.
Beer never does that to me. Although,
really?
Yeah, no, I'm wrong.
You have to have enough of them.
You're right.
Beer can always fuck you up. You have to respect the beer.
Just not as fast as other stuff, but you're totally right. I've made some very poor judgment calls while drinking beer.
I think everybody has, and that's what makes us human.